Open up your Bibles to John, the first chapter. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You heard about the young man who was in the third grade. In the third grade, his grandma gave him a special Bible. He's so excited. Pastor told him to turn in your Bible to John. That little boy stood up, grabbed his Bible, hugged his Bible, said, "Pastor, I love you and I respect you, but I'm not turning in my Bible to Aunt John or anybody else." All right. Pastor, you got another joke? Okay. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, who's he talking about there? Jesus. How do we know he's talking about Jesus? Okay, look down to verse 14. Are we all together? Y'all with me? You ready to study the Word? How do we know that? We know that because look what just 14 says. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, we know who's that talking about. That's talking about Jesus. So, now, here, let me teach you this. Good hermeneutics runs like this. Good Bible study goes like this, that the verse, that's why I tell you all the time, read the verse above and read the verse below. You don't understand a verse? Read the verse below, up, above, and read the verse below. And usually, in the context of where that is, you're going to learn something. Please understand this. Please don't listen to what a lot of people will tell you. Just because you hear something doesn't mean it's the truth. Hello? I said, just because you hear something doesn't mean it's the truth. Amen? Amen. Particularly in the news media nowadays. I said, particularly in the news media nowadays. They have a narrative that they want you to believe, but many times it is so far from the truth. It is so far from the truth. Many times, you know what, concerning Christianity, amen, and Christians. There's a great book written, and I appreciated that professor's professor was from a very unbiblical university. And she went down to the Bible Belt and stayed and moved in with a Christian family and was amazed at who they were. And she wrote about it. And it was an incredible reality for her because she had all these preconceptions, these notions, these things that she was told that Christians were like. And when she spent time with this family, she was at least honest enough to say, "I'm telling you, the truth is, they were nothing like I thought they were. They was kind, caring, forgiving, considerate, non-judgmental." She said, "I didn't think any of that stuff. But when I lived with them, then I came up with that reality. One of the things that you'll be told is that you can't understand the Bible. The Bible is, you know what, that God is hard to understand. And people can't ever understand the Bible. People can't ever understand God. Well, I'll say this. Is there ever been something you didn't understand? Maybe, you know what, you started dating someone and you didn't like football, you didn't care about football a lick, and you started dating someone and they liked football, and you're like, man, I don't understand why what's a first down, and you know what, I don't understand why sometimes they kick the ball, sometimes they throw the ball, and I don't, you know what I mean? You don't understand any of it. You know what? A year and a half later, you're like, you know what? You got your Raider gear on. You're like, man. Right? You know about first down. You know about field goal. You know about touchdown. You know about extra point. You know when they throw a flag, you understand. You all, even nuances. You never used to have a clue of what that was about. What happened? You started getting involved in, you know what you did? You started learning about football. You started watching the football, and when you watch football, it didn't come all at one time, but all of a sudden, you're like, man, I understand that now. It didn't come all in one week, but you understand something. My wife gets me in the kitchen. Don't tell her. Don't tell her. I don't really want to understand anything in the kitchen anyway. How many know she knows that anyway? Okay. But how many know, we get in the kitchen and she says, you know what, can you do this? Get this out and do that. And I'm certain, I don't, you know what I mean? I have no idea what I'm doing. And you know what? And she'll be like, I'm like, honey, I don't know none of this stuff. You know what? I can make a mean peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But besides that, I don't know. You know, I don't know how to do it. I've never done in this stuff. Right? See, here's the deal. You're never going to understand something that you don't start to study. But if someone has told you over and over and over again that this is hard, this is difficult, this is, you know what, it's just hard to understand, then guess what? You have a tendency, many times, to believe them, and I, as your pastor, I'm telling you just the opposite. I'm saying, if you will start to simply come every Sunday and Wednesday, it won't be very long at all before you understand a lot of the Word of God. And here, I'll give you a better one. If you'll start to read a chapter a day, you on your own, you'll even accelerate that process. Does this make sense? Okay, guys, keep that passage up there for me. So, one thing that you do when you're reading the Bible is, you will allow the context to explain to you what it's saying. That's why you read the verse before and the verse after.
That's right.
Sometimes if I said something and I just took it out of context and just said it, it would make no sense to you. But if I told you something prior and something after, then you'd go, oh, that makes sense. Hello. My throat is bothering me. I don't want anybody to do this. I'm just making this up. My throat is bothering me. You know what? I want you to go in the kitchen and, you know what, and boil some hot water. You know what? and then pour it in a little cup, put some tea in it, bring it out here. I like some peppermint. Give me some peppermint, put it in there, and then hand it to me. Does that make sense? What if I just came up to you and said, hey, go in the kitchen and boil some water? You'd be thinking, that don't make no sense. He's right in the middle of Bible study and he wants me to boil. That don't even make any sense. Well, of course it doesn't make sense if you take it out of context. But when you put it in between a context of why I want that and specifically how to do that, it makes sense. Am I relating to somebody? So in this, and this happens all the time in the Word of God. Start coming Sunday and Wednesday, Sunday and Wednesday, Sunday and Wednesday. You'll see me do this all the time. We saw it Sunday, did we not? Remember when Jesus said, what did he say? We were reading that passage in Mark, and Jesus was telling the apostles, you know what, go into all the world and preach the gospel in my name. Remember this? And then he says, those who believe, you know what, will speak with new tongues and yada. Remember all this? But remember what we did? We looked at one verse above. And we found that before Jesus said that, he got the apostles together and he said, hey guys, how come you didn't believe when those ladies came? And all of a sudden puts it in context of what's going on. He makes correction and then he tells him, here's what I want you to do. Amen. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
So what I'm teaching you is a lot of times the answer to your question is right there. Look at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, you just read verse 1 and you just go, if you don't read anything else, you'd go, man, that doesn't make any sense. Why? Because by itself, it doesn't make any sense. But this isn't by itself. And so many times, the answer to your question as far as the Word of God is right there many times in the same chapter. What do you need to do? You just need to read it. You just need to get rid of that stinking thinking that says you can't figure it all out and just say, no, that's not true. The Spirit of God lives inside of me. He's the Spirit of truth, and the Spirit of truth will teach God. Listen, God wrote that. God wrote that. That same God that wrote the Word is the God that lives inside of you. So all you have to do is read it and start to believe that the Holy Spirit will give you revelation of what's going on there. And many times read it and then read it again and read it again and read it again. You can read a chapter just 3 times, 4 times. I do this all the time. The story that I told that we talked about of Sunday. How many remember what story we told about Sunday? Thank you. Somebody say catching some fish. You remember now? That story I just read over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And at some point in time, you know what I recognize? I recognize that Peter was just chucking and jiving Jesus. Lord, at your word. Nevertheless, we've been fishing all night. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll go out and do what you say. But I didn't see that right away. You know, many people will use that very, those very words as a example of trusting and believing God. You ever heard that? Nevertheless. I'm just like Peter. Nevertheless, God said it and I'm going to do it. Nevertheless, at your word, God. Well, you know what? I thought, oh my goodness. I mean, and that's a good thing to say, but I'm not using it from that passage anymore. Why? Because that's not accurate. You say, Pastor, how do you, watch this, watch this, you're going to learn some. You say, Pastor, how did you figure that out? Because as I kept reading it, I already knew that Jesus said nets, and he only took out one net. Well, how come you only taken out one net? I don't know. You know, what do you want to wash? You want to wash 8 cars tomorrow, or you want to wash 1 car tomorrow? Does this make sense? How many ever thought you were going to wash your car and then you found out it's going to rain in the afternoon? And you were going to wash your car, but then you found out it was going to rain and you said, I ain't washing it. Amen. That's all he was doing. That's why he only took out one net. Because that is, I'm sure, a big job to wash those nets. So I'm going to act a certain way, but this is just a form, a facade, but I'm not real in my heart. Now that was one indication right there in the text. Right there in the text. Because Jesus said, you take out these nets. But he took out a net. But then, because let me tell you about the word. It'll give you all these clues if you'll just slow down and read it. Can I teach you something tonight? See, how many know sometimes we read the word with the wrong goal? The goal that we read is to be able to check it off on a list. How many know the reason why I feed my dogs? Particularly, our big dog. I like the big dog more than I like the little dogs. He got blue eyes. Beautiful dog. But I love all the dogs. So, how many know I don't feed those dogs to check it off a list? Why do I feed those dogs? I feed those dogs because it would be cruel not to feed your dogs. Here, this is deep. I feed these dogs because they can't open the can opener themselves. Is that not right? See, the purpose isn't just to check it off. The purpose is, and sometimes we can read the Word of God in some kind of false, I want to check off the list of, I did what I should do today. Does this make sense? But when you're doing it for that purpose, here's the problem. You're not going to get the benefit that you really need. You need to go into it and with this thought of, what does God have for me today? What does God want to speak to me today? Amen. Amen. And so, right there in that text, when you see the nets and you see the net, it tells you something. And then, because there, it begins to be so crystal clear to me. And it'll be crystal clear. I don't know what two words that was. It'll be crystal clear to you because, see, God's not a respecter of persons. God doesn't love me any more than he loves you. And if you will just read the word and just read the word and read the word, and you're not trying to just get through your chapter that you can check it off and say, I did it, now I can go to bed.
No.
Let me give you a hint. The word is probably, how do I say this? If you could only read your chapter one time a day, and I would advise you to not read your chapter one time a day. Read it three times a day. But if you only read it one time a day, don't read it right before you're going to go to bed. How many ever get to bed, and by the time you're through your day, you're asleep almost sometimes before your, I mean, just like, sometimes I feel like I'm asleep before the head hits the pillow. Sometimes I haven't eaten, you know what, all day, and I come home, and I just go, honey, I want to eat, but I want to sleep more. I'm going to bed. Have you ever felt like that? So it's probably not good to read it sometimes right before you go to bed. Now, I would advise that you read your Bible before you go to bed, but I would advise that you get up early, read a chapter in the morning, read a chapter at lunch, read a chapter at night, and I would advise that you read the same chapter over and over and over again. At the end of that story, when Peter says, it says they were amazed that they caught that much fish, that was very clearly indication that he had no intention when he took that net out of catching that fish. Catching those fish. Why? How many know I'm not going to be amazed when I get in the church van and I drive home tonight? Why? Because I know there's enough gas in there to get me home. Does this make sense? See, things that you expect, you're not amazed. He had no expectation that that was going to happen. No expectation. No expectation. Why are you bringing all that? I thought you were talking about this. I'm teaching you something. Where did I get that? How did I get that? I didn't get that because, you know, I didn't learn that at Life Bible College. I didn't learn that at Life Bible College. Pastor, yeah, but I haven't been to Bible College. I didn't learn all hermeneutics. I don't even know what that means. Hermeneutics is just how to study the Bible. That's all it means. But I don't even know that word. Can I tell you something? Can I teach you something? I love the 4 years I spent at Life Bible College. It was a great experience. God had called me to Life Bible College. I don't regret it at all. But I bought a small little book. I think it cost me 75 cents. You know what? Yeah, just a real little booklet, just like this right here. See, we got them right back here. Book just like this. Okay, and it was called How to Meditate the Word of God. Cost me 75 cents, and that's where I learned. That's how I learned to study the Word of God. You didn't learn it in the 4 years? No. 75 cents. 75 cents. This is more than 75 cents. No, but that was back in the day. Okay. 75 cents. Best 75 cents I have ever spent in my life. Okay. What are you saying, Pastor? Here's what I'm saying. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, to some extent, by itself, doesn't make a lot of sense. It's very confusing. But if you go back down to look, guys, in the back, go to chapter or verse 14, and the Word became flesh. And the Word became flesh. How many know Jesus was God? And Jesus, when God's plan, when God put Jesus inside Mary, how many know what happened? The Word became flesh. Does that make sense now? Watch this. Verse 14 again. And dwelt among us. How many know Jesus dwelt among those people? And we beheld his glory. Somebody say, and we beheld his glory. Somebody say, and we beheld his glory. What's that talking about? You know what that's talking about. I preached it to you Sunday. The manifestation of the glory of God happened all the time. And they saw it. They beheld it. That's just a fancy word to say they saw it. When did they see it? They saw it when it made no sense to go out and go fishing again. But when those boats were sinking, two boats were sinking full of fish, Peter was like on his face. On his face. Somebody say on his face. And Simon Peter saw it. Somebody say saw it. What did he see? He saw the glory of God. He saw a manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. He saw God working on this earth in a real way. And Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." He saw the glory of God. No, go back to 14, guys. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And we see that over and over and over and over again. They saw the glory of God so many times. Jesus said to them, it's better for you that I go. And they're like, no, you can't go. Look at what you're doing on this earth. Look at what's happened. Listen, Jesus, before you got here, we weren't functioning in, we didn't see any of this stuff. Jesus says, no, 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 you don't understand. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit's not going to come. And what I want is I want the Holy Spirit to, I'm going to leave, and now the Holy Spirit is going to come inside of you, and now you can function like I function. And now you can function like I function. I'm going to give you a chance to shout amen. Some of you way too casual, amen. No, seriously. And then you can function like I function. Yeah. See, listen to me. God is raising us up to start to function in a whole different level. Yeah. Yeah. And as long as you keep on thinking like the apostle, well, yeah, but, you know, no, don't go. No, Jesus said, no, it's good that I go. Yeah. But before that, they had never seen what they saw. And they saw it over and over and over and over again with him turning the water into wine. What was that? Manifestation of the glory of God. They saw it. They were part of it. They're like, man, what's up with this? Man, usually, you know what? They give you the best wine first. But you say the best line for the best wine for last. Why? Because let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus only makes the best.
That's right. Oh, there it is. That's it.
Amen. They saw the manifestations of the glory of God over and over and over again. So what's going on? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Somebody say grace. And truth. Can we park it here for a minute? Somebody say grace and truth. Jesus, what's grace? Grace is God's supernatural ability to get done what you can't get done by yourself. How many want to get stuff done that you can't get done by yourself? You're like, Pastor, I don't know what's going on with my marriage, but it's just getting better and better and better. Man, my wife, man, she used to always be mad at me, but now, man, she is like crazy about me. Come on, somebody say amen to this. And let me tell you what's going on, man. That's not just because I keep on telling women to be your husband's cheerleader. It might have to do with that, and that's important. And ladies, you know what? You know, dust off your pom-poms and start to be. Listen, nobody ought to think more about your husband than you think more about than your husband. How many know that's going to take some faith? Why? Because you see what a bozo he is sometimes. Come on. Listen to me. But you're called to be his helpmate. Yes. Amen. Listen to me, ladies. I'm going to teach you something. And your husband knows, you think he's a bozo? He knows more about his dark side than you will ever know. And Satan just beats him up about it. The Bible says he day and night, he's just beating him up about, you know what, about just not only stupid things that he did last week, but stupid things he did 8 years ago. Oh, this is good. I don't know who this is for. Ladies, can I teach you how you are? Can I teach you how you are? Okay, this is how you are. You are this string. You are this string. Ladies, say, I'm a string. Okay? And you remember, and everything on that string is connected. Way back here. Now, listen, ladies, that stringness that you're about is outstanding. Front-sided strength. Because you will remember when that doctor goes to, you know what, the doctor was going to do something really, really harmful to Granny just the other day. And Tamara said, no. Hey, wait. Don't you know she had this issue 8 years ago? Well, it should have been in the chart. But whether the doctor didn't see it in the chart or whether he wasn't paying attention or whether it wasn't there, you know what? Thank God for the string. Amen. Somebody say, thank God for the string. Because the string connects all kinds of things. Ladies, you're going to bless your husband. You're going to bless your kids. You're going to bless your grandkids. You're going to bless all kinds of things. You're going to remember stuff because you are a string. Thank you, Jesus. How many of your front side of strength has a backside weakness? Here's a backside weakness. There's some boneheaded stuff your husband did. Like 38 years ago. That you still haven't let go. Now watch this. If you remember that he did 38 years ago, how many know you remember what he did 35 years ago? And 32 years ago. And 22 years ago. Come on, somebody, don't shout me down when I'm for your life. You know what? And 5 years ago and 4 years ago and three. And what happens is what you're doing is you're creating this in your mind, this proof of boneheadedness. Guy, ladies, can I tell you something? They don't need no proof. They already are convinced. Ladies, I'm asking you to help me. How many know what I do at this church? I look at your husbands and I say, man, let me tell you what. I don't care what you did in the past. It don't make no difference. I don't care what you did last. I don't care what you did 28 years ago, 38 years ago, 38 months ago, 38 days ago. The past is the past. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. God has called you to do great things. And so you know what? Get your mind, you know what, out of the junk that he's trying to tell you that you can't be a mighty man of God because of all the stupid things you did. He is a liar. Did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Did he die on the cross or did he not? Man, did he die on the cross or did he not? Whose sins did he die for? Your sins. So if he died on the cross, is his blood powerful or is it not? It is powerful. So I don't care if you did it 38 hours ago. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. And so man up. Be what God has called you to be. Stop allowing Satan to lie to you about who you are and step up to the plate and be who God's called you to be. Now, ladies, I need your help. Mm-hmm. Well, that was loud, huh? Man, that was loud. Ladies, I need your help. See, don't take what God meant to be a blessing to your families and allow Satan to twist it to be a curse. Don't let that happen. Be a blessing. Allow that string to be a blessing. That you remember all kinds of details that were really, really important and really, really be helpful. But what is not helpful is you have allowed that string to be a record of wrongs. I say, Pastor, where do you get that? I get that right out of the Word of God, who says love doesn't keep record of wrongs. The Bible says love hopes all things. And listen, and you got your husband thinking the worst of himself, and now because of your, now, how many know what is your strength? Satan wants to manipulate to be a curse in your family. So the thing that is supposed to be a strength, now you got your husband convinced of he can't do nothing right. And in the course of time, you got yourself convinced of it. Why? Can I teach you something? Because what happens is, in the brain, Pastor, why are you ripping on the ladies? I don't know. I ain't ripping on the ladies. I'm blessing the ladies. How many want your marriage to be good, ladies? Well, listen, how many know you are 50% responsible for this? I'm just saying. So research says, the newest research says, the brain research says that what you, see, the Bible knows what you should do a long time before the research, shows it out. I've taught you that before. So, but let me tell you the research and then I'll give you the quote of the word. The research says that every time, so I say, I just always do bad in interviews. I was just always do bad. I'd do much better, but when I get in the interview, I get nervous and I always stumble. I always do bad in interviews. If you did bad in your interviews, and if you thought you did bad in your interviews, I'm going to teach on this in 2 weeks. The one thing I would do, the first thing I would do is shut your mouth up. Because the research says what you're saying is producing how many, if I do this long enough, how many know what the rug's going to look like pretty soon? How many know that is exactly what the research says happens in your head? And you go into that interview, and guess what? I'll tell you right now what's going to happen. You ain't going to rock the interview. You're going to do awful in the interview. Why? Because you can't do anything but. I said, you can't do anything but. You want me to give you a scripture on this?
Yeah.
James says, the course of your life is set. Do you know what it's set by? According to James? Your tongue. And so you keep on saying that, and you keep on saying that. Oh, I'm bad with names. I can't lose weight. I'll never get out of debt. I'm like, yeah. I'm really preaching my sermon in 2 weeks, but come back. It'll be better on Sunday. Are you hearing me? And let me just say this. And you watch it. I'm warning you. You watch it. Because there's all kinds of people, Christian men and women on the radio, Christian, that mock this. To the detriment of the body of Christ. They mock it. And I got too many passages of scripture, too much jugular teaching in the Word of God. Amen. One of them, Genesis, right out of the beginning. I need to stop because I'm really teaching 2 weeks. What I'm saying is, ladies, now a stronghold in your husband's life, instead of taking bricks off, you're adding on in his life and in your life. Now, watch this. Even if he's making some kind of stride, a betterness, becoming more spiritual, reading his Bible more, praying, you won't even see it. Because you can't. Because in your mind, you've already made up your, listen to me, you've already made up your mind. And listen, and the research says those strands are real, and you can have change right in front of your face, and you will never see it. Amen. Are you learning something?
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to think how we got there. From the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I'll watch it on Wednesday and I'll figure out how did we go there. Here, I'll teach you something. Can I teach you something? Say, Pastor, the Holy Spirit knows more than you. See, I've learned a long time ago, don't resist the Holy Spirit. Just because he knows what's needed. And he is able to teach you exactly what you need. Can I teach you, ladies? Some of you ladies, you're doing great in this area. So, well, why? Wait. If I'm doing great, why would you bring all that correction? How many know sometimes when you're doing well, the Holy Spirit will just come and just pat you on the back and say, you know what? Way to go. You did good. That's what you're doing. Amen? How many know sometimes it's not correction at all. It's a way to go. How many know sometimes? How many know sometimes, ladies? It's you're doing it pretty good, but not great. Hello? Come on, ladies. How many know that sometimes? And how many know, and how many would that help? And then how many know sometimes it's, oh my goodness. That's exactly what I'm not doing bad at it. I'm doing an F. Pastor, I do exactly that. I notice everything that my husband does wrong. And I notice, I not only notice it, I'll make sure he knows about it. Well, listen, so what? Today's the first day of the rest of your life, amen? Amen. You can turn, and I'll close with this. Let me tell you one more thing, ladies. Let me tell you what, how many, don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands, ladies, if you're married. Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hands. But if I ask you, how many of you, ladies, have some area in your life with your husband that you believe that he could, I said, don't raise your hands. that he could, some area in his life, in the life of your family, that he could improve on. Probably there wouldn't be a married woman here who wouldn't raise her hand and say, there's at least one. And for some of you, you'd have a list of 38 in about 3 seconds. Okay. And what I'm saying is, you are making one of the biggest errors you could in noticing all his junk. I don't question your motives. I don't question your motives. I question your, what am I questioning? Your effectiveness. I'm not questioning your motive. I understand why you do it. You're a detailed person, and that's why you're doing it. I'm questioning your effectiveness. And I'm teaching you as the male species. Amen. I'm teaching you to do something that is going to be counterintuitive, but very effective. Ladies, say this, counterintuitive, but very effective. Here's what it is. When you see what you don't want, notice what you like. Okay. So, you know what? He never washes your car. Your car's dirty. Your father used to always wash your car for you. And I don't have time to go into that. But a lot of times what your father did, you throw that on your husband, and he just is not, you know, he's just, okay. But you know what? He's not washing your car. You've asked him to wash the car. It's one thing, you know, at least you could wash my car, and if you could at least fill it with gas. That's because that's always what your father did, and that's what you think. That just would minister to you, and he just won't do it. Okay? Just let it go. Start to notice what he is doing. Amen? Does he go to work every day? You know what? Is he faithful? You know what? Is he loyal? You know what? You know, does his hair look nice? No, Pastor, his hair, that makes me so mad. His hair, he goes out and his hair's all messy all the time. He looks like a mess. You know, I don't know what he does. He does. You missed the point. The point isn't what he doesn't do. I'm not trying to bring up stuff that I'm trying to say, what does he do that's right? Does he Does he tuck your kids in bed? No, Pastor, he doesn't do that either. You're missing the point. We can talk about what he doesn't do. You're missing the point. What does he do? Pastor, that would take a lot of research for me to. I know. Okay. It might take a right. You might need to think about it for a little bit of time. Okay. Listen, can I be honest with you? You figured it out when you were dating him. You figured it out when you were dating him. I'll tell you, are you kidding me? You stood up, you saw him up there, you walked down, he was thinking, oh, she's so beautiful. Well, what were you thinking? Amen. You weren't thinking, man, I got a dud right now. You know what I mean? No, you weren't thinking that. You were like, man, look, man, this guy's, you had a whole list of reasons why he was someone good to marry. Amen. Well, get that list back out again. Start noticing. Because I would say, you know what? For most men, they have increased in that list. Amen. Pastor, why would you spend so much time on this? Here's why. Because the Holy Spirit is directing us. And let me tell you what, ladies. This isn't for your... If you took this in as a criticism, you missed it by a mile. You missed it by a mile. You know what this is? This is your senior pastor loving you and saying, listen. Used to listen to this lady on the radio, and she used to tell women all the time. She said, ladies, you have no idea how much power you have to turn your relationship around. You have no idea. But you do have to do stuff that is counterintuitive. Yeah. You do have to get off of the men bashing train. Yeah. Oh, it is big time out there. Yeah. You have to get off that train. Yeah. You have to get off that train. You know what? And fall in love with your husband again. Yeah. Amen. I'm glad you came today. Father, we thank you for your word. Man, how many know? We only got past John 1:1 tonight. Praise the Lord. How many know? Hey, how many know? Two things are going to happen. Either we're all going to be up in heaven before next Wednesday, or we're going to come back to this place and catch it where we left off. Father, we thank you for your word. What a blessing. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who is able to lead us and guide us and help us. Father, I pray for marriages that as good, whether the marriages are great, that they can be better. And Father, even people, all the singles that are here tonight, Father, we thank you that they're hearing. Father, that they are that you are preparing them for what is going to happen in the future. God, we love you and we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, hang on a second. Okay. Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Okay.
And it's all blocked up.
Okay. Hey, let's just pray for...
The donut shop is on fire.
And the nail place. And that's pretty significant in that we just talked about Sunday... But that's a gracious family in our community. Yeah. And you know what? They're not going to be selling. They're not going to be able to sell any donuts tomorrow. Wow. And that's their livelihood. Right. What are we going to do? Well, we don't have to act like we can't do anything. That's right. We don't have to act like we're, you know what? I have no idea. But how many know God's able to turn a mess around? Amen. You know what? Went to a church just down the street. You know what? And I went in this church, And man, I was so jealous because their sanctuary looked so gorgeous. And I asked him, I said, man, it looks like you guys just redid everything. He said, oh yeah, we did. I said, and I knew they barely had 25 people in the congregation. I said, how were you able to do all this? He said, well, there was a pipe that broke and it just ruined everything. And we were fully insured, and they came in, and we were able to pick out what colors we wanted, and the whole thing, redid the whole thing. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know, you know what? What if you say, yeah, but I've gone in that donut shop, and you know what? And those people are Buddhists. I saw the Buddhists.
That's right.
Well, are we only to love those? Are we not to love people outside of our family? Amen. Father, we just stretch out our hands. We thank you for protection for the firefighters right now, that none of them are getting hurt. We thank you, Father, that what has been meant for the destruction, God will turn it around for our good. Father, we thank you. And as we're praying, Father, we just pray and thank you for protection on this building and this land. And this property and everything you, Father, we thank you that we have angels that protect us and keep us safe. And Father, we thank you that we dedicate this. We've been dedicated for a long time, but we reiterate that this property is sanctified to preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Father, we thank you that even tonight, that these business owners would feel a sense of hope supernaturally. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.